You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. And this podcast is proudly brought to you by sharenet.co.za. It's been a really, really interesting quarter and a really, really good start to the second quarter, David, because look at the all-share index of the JSE. Look at the Rand. I mean, it's a sunny day in South Africa.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised at the strength of some of the shares that we're seeing, because if we distill the first quarter, and I'm talking South Africa, I'm not going into the overseas markets at all, but if we distill it, there's three pillars that really contribute to the JSE. It's those big heavyweight offshore businesses that we have, you know, who don't do business in South Africa, AB InBev, British American Tobacco, Richemont, those companies.
Yes.
It's hybrids. We've got some hybrids like Amondi, which does a little bit of business here, and so on. And then we've got the resources. And the third leg is SA Inc. And two of those legs did actually pretty well, which was the offshore companies. They turned around. And Lindsay, just before we talk about the first quarter, you actually have to remember that the fourth quarter of 2018 was pretty awful.
Yeah.
You know, and therefore, the turnaround that we've seen now is not building on a high base. It was actually building on a low base. So, in effect, we're back to where we were almost 6 months ago. That's all that's happened on global markets. You know, we haven't broken into new territory, even though I see U.S. markets are quite strong. We still haven't reached the all-time highs that we reached in the U.S. in September. So take that into consideration. Nevertheless, the fact that we bounce back is a pretty good sign. But I think if we look at the local market, it's strange that we saw companies that had been absolutely battered do pretty well, like British American Tobacco, AB InBev, Richemont. All of those came back quite nicely after having been sold out pretty heavily over the last year. So I think that for us was was quite a big contributor. Strangely, AB InBev was one of the better performers, and that's got no weighting in our all-share index at all. It's by far the biggest company on the JSE in terms of market cap at 2.4 trillion rand, but has nothing, doesn't feature in the all-share. But that was up quite significantly over the last quarter. So let's take that one. And then we had the miners did well, and they continue to do well. I'm talking at the top end of the market, BHP Billiton, Anglo's, the diversified miners. So
Yes. That's
what gave us the 7%. I thought it would have been more. Take that away, and we had a terrible, terrible quarter in terms of SA Inc. with our retailers under a lot of pressure, our financials taking a lot of strain as well, food companies. Wherever we looked, there were some massive gains which just seemed to have been overlooked. They're making up some ground in the last 2 days, but I'm a bit surprised, because I think the fundamentals still remain very, very questionable. So that's very broadly, what it looks like. And if we go through the numbers of those, the downturn, they're big.
David, when you look at the numbers, I mean, the numbers from the first quarter when it comes to macroeconomics were really, really bad indeed. And in fact, it was embellished today, and it was reinforced today by the Purchasing Managers Index, the ABSA PMI, which came out earlier on. And I've just conducted an interview with an ABSA economist. And the fact is that we are not producing in South Africa. Okay, I think what's happened is that because of the Moody's extraordinary decision to be so rude to us and not actually come out with a review and even tell us that there's going to be no review. The extraordinary thing is that the Rand has now gone into the 1415 to 1420 area rather than the 1470 to 1480 area.
Yeah.
And so the retailers on the opening today came out of the blocks like Usain Bolt. And that's fantastic. But on the other hand, is it a trend change? And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But one swallow doesn't make a summer. David, go over and give me your short-term views, and I'll give you my medium and long-term views after you've given me your short-term view.
Well, I think the short-term views is obviously either the market was caught short, or alternatively they see Moody's not giving a credit rating as being a positive sign, holding off until after the election, hopefully that Mr. Ramaphosa is going to introduce a reform. And those reforms, when everybody says we hope that he's going to introduce structural reforms, what? structural reform. You see what I'm saying? I'm questioning what can he do? You know, in my own mind, I'm saying these are all nice words to use. But what kind of reforms do you actually expect an ANC government to introduce? You know, I mean, if you read the headlines now, it doesn't look like he's going to give up his deputies, those the top six in the ANC. Doesn't look like any of those are going to, you know, are going to be kicked out. They're going to likely remain. So the battle for him to do anything is going to be difficult. You know, that's a reality. How is he suddenly going to change the course of the Eskom? You know, all of a sudden, yes, he may introduce reforms, but the damage is so widespread. It's going to take generations to turn it around. So I'm still remain very skeptical about what he can do and whether he can really get growth going. You know, the only thing that can get growth going is if we have a massive gain in commodity prices. If we see platinum doubling, and we see iron ore doubling and coal prices doubling, you know, those are the kind of things that we need to give us some kind of short-term fix. You know, almost a cannabis high or something like that. Nothing else is going to do it. So I remain very cautious about what can happen even after the election. But Lindsay, we had Ramaphosa. Remember Ramaphosa? Everybody got all excited. Oh, now watch, you know, Cyril's in power.
Yes, so but you know what? That was 15 later, months ago. That was 15 months ago. So why even talk about it now? There's no Ramaphosa. Ramaphosa was a moment in time.
Well, now we're saying wait until Cyril, wait until the election. That's the next, you know,
the next leg.
Okay, you know, let's wait until the election.
Wait for that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Hold on a sec. In the meantime, we keep falling behind the rest of the world, you know, as the rest of the world creeps on, so we fall behind. So I remain very skeptical whether we can do it. And so that's where I stand. The rest, from a global point of view, I think we'll just kind of grind higher. I don't see, funny enough, we were discussing it on Friday or Thursday. When was it? Friday, you know.
Friday.
We said, I can't see it. I can see it grind. You know, I can see us grinding higher. I don't see anything in the market that's going to knock us backwards. You know, valuations are not excessive. They're not bubble-like. Inflation's not there and so on. America's doing okay. I just see their manufacturing numbers come out slightly higher than expected. So there's positive manufacturing there. You know, things are okay. But I don't expect a blowout, you know, market, a blowout in global markets. Yeah, China's stimulus measures are now starting to work, so we're slightly higher there. Got to wait for Europe to wake up, you know.
And but do you know what happens with China, David? That. They come out and they say, we're going to boost the prospects of local small businesses because we're going to cut rates and we're going to stop the speculation in property. And then the market goes up for one day. And then 3 days later, the market goes down 4% or 4.5%. That is typical of the Shanghai index. But if I look at the international situation, the German production numbers were awful. We've still got Trump in the White House, which is it's unbelievable. The Chinese numbers are being massive. I know, it's unbelievable.
I know, you can die.
The Chinese numbers are pretty poor and they're probably massaged. We've got Brexit, etc. And I just think to myself, well, maybe that means risk off for South Africa at some point. At the moment, of course not. I looked at the S&P this morning at around about 8 o'clock South African time. It was up 25 points. And I said, why? Is that because of some sort of trade deal optimism?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the most spurious excuse to buy the S&P ever. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the euphoria around the second quarter.
For me, the big challenge is I think there is no alternative. What do they say, Tina? I think that's and really that doesn't give you a lot of comfort. I'm waiting for, let's see what, and when I say what, I look for what the big companies are going to tell us, you know, this first quarter. In other words, I like to look at all the heavy techs, and they'll give you a very good idea if there is still a pulse and momentum, you know, in the U.S. economy. I think I will look to whether Amazon, I'll look to Facebook, I'll look to, you know, whether the advertising is still there, whether they're still growing their books, whether subscriptions are growing and so on, Netflix. So those are the ones that I look for. Not because I like them, number one, but I want to see that the momentum, that kind of momentum, which now defines The global economy is you know, still going well. So we're at 28.54 as I talk to you now. You know, from my point of view, we're still below September, where we went up to 2935 on the S&P. That's important.
Okay.
We've got to, you know, if you're going to have a bull market, you've got to break through that level as well. We can't just bumble along. I can't see that momentum there at the moment. So I'm comfortable where we are, and we'll bumble along from day to day. But I think down the line, the kind of movements we're seeing in the JSE today, I can't see as being sustainable. I'll give you an example. Shame,
yes.
I'm just looking at Robex today. Robex coming.
Trading update, company. Yeah.
Yeah, you look at the construction. They'll tell you exactly what's happening in the economy. It's not a matter of what's happened. You know, as I've always told you, and you've quoted me, you know, I always go and look at the outlook statement. What are they saying about what's down the line? You know, how are they looking at things? And unfortunately, there's no change in trend there. That's a worry. I mean, the fact that they can't get money out of the Zambian government, for God's sake. You know, this is a government institution. And, I mean, they keep begging them. They do the work. It also gives you an idea of doing business in Africa. And likewise here, there's no spend on road rehabilitation here at all. There is no spend. They have to write off their goodwill. You know, they have to write off. And then their general business, all they do is kind of almost continue in order to maintain their skills. As Basil Reed said in an interview now of going into business rescue, they just try to keep their skills. So that defines where we are, Lindsay. It's tough.
Basil Reed should be renamed Basil Fawlty, and it's nothing to do with with the specific company. It's all to do with the fact that the construction sector is on its knees. Maybe it's an opportunity. Yeah. Who knows? David, the one thing that worried me over the last few days is you said, well, today this has happened and that has happened, but it happened actually started on Thursday with the palladium price and the platinum price and the gold price coming down because of a slight increase in the value of the US dollar against the euro, etc. That to me has been propping up the JSE for the first 3 months of the year. Is this a trend change? I just spoke to a friend of ours, Liston Mainges. He said, no, it's not a trend change. It has to become more entrenched to be in a trend change. But gosh, if that goes out the window, then the JSE is going to be in trouble.
Well, that concerns me. I think we're getting a little bit of a boost today because of the Chinese manufacturing numbers. So there's been a pickup in, you know, the traders have gone into copper and they platinum and palladium and that are holding their own.
Yes.
But remember, this was, you know, when it was $1,500 or close to
$1,600,
which is a palladium. It's now down at $1,340 or thereabouts. So that's a big crack. Platinum itself is not showing any great form. So I would, you know, these are not running away. They are where they are at the moment. They're not, you know, oil is not making any new highs. It doesn't, if anything, it looks like it's going to come down from these kind of levels. Copper might be in shortage and there might be a lot coming on in the next few years and copper might go up. I don't know. But one doesn't get a feeling that these prices have got major momentum behind them. You know, and also, in other words, to underpin the ongoing continuation of the kind of commodity boom or boom in commodity shares, I should say, that we've seen. So I remain, you know, like I'm holding on to the very limited exposure that I have, but I agree with you. We are vulnerable there.
Okay, so the trend of the first 3 months of 2019, could it be reversed today, or rather over the last few days, because I'm looking at Truworths up 4.33%. I saw on the opening couple of hours of the JSE Securities Exchanges, I saw Pick and Pay up something like 5%. I think to myself, why is this? Maybe it's just because people were short and they're buying back, or maybe it's because people are optimistic about the fact that the South African consumer will have better times in the next 6, 12, 18 months. I just can't see it.
You know what worries me, and I think this might show my age, but there are a lot of analysts, and they might be young, who look at things on a valuation basis and say, oh, you know, things are value-wise very cheap relative to history.
Yes.
My answer to that is history has changed. You know, we're not who we were. we haven't got the same economy that we were 15, 20 odd years ago. And I don't see the structure that would allow us to maintain or to bounce back, you know, even though valuations have come down. So in other words, I don't see us structurally strong enough to actually make it worthwhile to buy things at these kind of levels, particularly in the retailers. Up to now, they've managed to hold their own by cutting costs and becoming more efficient. But down the line, you've got to increase the top line. And we don't see top line increasing because there is no money in the economy. Householders are battling. Therefore, while Pick and Pay historically might be cheap, I don't think that necessarily means it's going to run away. And I'm just using Pick and Pay as a proxy for retailers. But if we go back to the quarter, let me just start here. Mr. Yes. Price is still down 20%, you know, from the beginning of the year. 20% is a lot. Massmart down 20%. True are still down 18%, even with these changes. You know, Pepco down 16%. Woolies down 15%. Dis-Chem down 14%. So, I mean, this gives you an idea. ShopRite down 13%. So it gives you an idea of how far these companies have fallen in the first quarter. So even though we're seeing a turnaround now, there's a lot of room to be made up. So just be cautious. That's all. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we, you know, South Africa just suddenly, find something that's going to get us going again in that. But for me, it's I can't see it. I can't see it in the market here.
As we pre-record,
it makes
this
me sound very pessimistic.
Pessimistic. You know, I've always said that you're a realist, not a pessimist. Anyway, the top five major moves according to sharenet.co.za as we pre-record this interview at 4:30 on a Monday. CML, that's Coronation Fund Managers, that's up 6 2/3%, 666, which is a nasty number. Let's get away from Rainbow Chickens, that's the second one. The JSE up 5.25%. There has been some good volumes going through the JSE recently.
Yeah, but the JSE is still down 16% on the year.
Yeah.
If you would have bought the JSE a year ago, you're down 25%.
Barlow World up nearly 5%. Standard Bank up 4.5%. On the downside, of course, nothing to do with domesticity, apart from the fact that Implats digs some of its stuff out of the ground in South Africa. Implats down nearly 5%. Fortress B down 3.8%. Harmony 3.1% weaker. Sibanye-Stillwater down 2.25%, and Anglo-Gold down 2.25% as well. There's been a shift in sentiment over the last 3 days.
Yes.
Hopefully, it's not a trend.
Well, it's out of gold. It's out of platinum. I think Lindsay, you know, if you look at the platinum chart, if you look at the, and this is, comes back to what you said earlier on. If we look at platinum share chart, whether it's Anglo Platts or Impala, it literally took off like a rocket.
Yes.
That's always a dangerous sign. When you see a chart that heads, you know, that not at a 45 degree angle, but almost at a 70 or 80 degree angle, 90 degree angle, then you know that there's going to be pain somewhere down the line. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be Roffy. You don't have to be a Chargers, you know, any of these chaps who look at Chargers. You don't have to be that clever to know that it's not going to last. And I think we're unraveling or unwinding those excess moves that we saw that I think were just completely, you know, worrisome. Just those are the kind of moves that really make you scary. So I think that's what we're seeing in some of the gold shares and some of the platinum shares. And that comes back to, you know, what lies ahead for us in this next quarter. I think those, you know, we will get an unwinding of those excessive moves.
David, let's move to football now, more important stuff.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, one of the most important things that happened to me was that I realised that at Wembley on Saturday, there was a match between Sunderland and Portsmouth. Now, Sunderland and Portsmouth are both in the third division, and there was 85,700 people at that match. And the only match in Europe that usurped that in terms of the number of people attending it was Barcelona versus Espanyol in the Catalonian derby. And Barcelona, of course, won 2-0. But it just gives me some hope that Sunderland and Portsmouth are both really rubbish teams, let's face it. But they've got this They've got not much money, but they still managed to get people to come and watch them, which tells me that
What was the game?
I don't know, it was the Sassoon Securities Challenge Cup or something like that. It was one of those crappy games that is sponsored by a paint company or something. But 85,000 people went to watch it. It was amazing.
I know. I was friendly at one stage with Paul Walsh, ex-Liverpool, ex-Spurs. Yes. Who went down, who was sold, who was swapped into Portsmouth. And I used to often go watch him there. It was a lovely ground, always a lovely atmosphere. They were in second div. I think they did then get, they came up to first div. And, the Premiership. Yes. Premiership, you know, in other words. And they were always a great company, always a great, always great to go down there, of course. Their rivals are Southampton, but I'm surprised that and Sunderland. I mean, well, Sunderland is Newcastle. I mean, they have a huge fan base. So I feel sorry. I just when I see some of the historic. Remember, I'm 71 years old. I've been watching British soccer now for 65 years. You know, so those teams that I used to love. Aston Villa, Newcastle. The first game I ever saw was Newcastle at the Rand Stadium with Jackie Milburn versus South Africa in 1953. So I saw everybody used to come out there, Bolton Wonders, Preston. So I've always had a kind of a warm sentiment towards a lot of those historical sites, Preston North End, Bolton, and so on. Yeah. And I'm sad to see because they've got such a loyal base. You know, these chaps never, ever leave their teams, and it's something that you will never change. I don't think these people will ever lose their loyalty, regardless of how the teams fare. As you are with Ipswich,
deep down, Boxing Day, 1975, Ipswich 0, Luton 1 at Portman Road, 32,000 people there, and I still stupidly follow this team that is going to be relegated at the end of this season to the third division, and it's really, really so distressing. Sad. Go up a couple of leagues now. Liverpool versus Tottenham on Sunday. How do they keep that goalkeeper in his job? He lost them the
game. You're talking Lloris,
Lloris. I mean, he won the Lloris, World Cup. Yeah. He won the World Cup for them, but surely Mauricio Pochettino has got the courage now to say, I'm sorry, you keep on making these mistakes. Get out now.
Blunders, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's tragic. And look it's just... I remember seeing also Liverpool Everton when the same thing happened in the last minute of the game. Everton's goal, the England goalkeeper, and the same boob, I mean, which just gave them a game. And the same thing, they just seem to be creeping on. Obviously, you know, God's on their side. I thought he used to be on Man United's side, but he's obviously on Liverpool's side this season. Shankly, is it Shankly? Who's up there that's looking after them? That's changing.
There's so many Liverpool
but you know
managers.
What? You know what I found tragic? I think the tragedy to me was this Cardiff match, that offside goal.
The chap that should have been sent off, the Chelsea
same
player.
Thing. I know.
The German
so
who should have been sent off for bringing that guy with only the goalkeeper to beat. It's such a, and we've got to get that VAR in. People.
This is Cardiff who are fighting for every point they can get. You know, and to lose like that with such a blatant decision, such a poor decision. Neil Warnock, I know he always goes off, but in this case, I was on his side. Just unfair. Anyway, but that's, but Liverpool didn't look great, eh?
No, they're not great.
Not great.
They keep on saying they're winning ugly, but unfortunately, they're playing rubbish teams and they're playing rubbish football, and Manchester City will prevail. Manchester City are sublime, I'm sorry.
No, you can't compare them. I was very, very disappointed in the way that Liverpool played. And not, it was a nice match, but they certainly don't look like a league. I promise you Leicester's winning side would have killed them. Leicester's Premier League side, the Premier League winning side would have absolutely killed Liverpool. They played lovely soccer,
David, the sponsors are now complaining. Right. We're going to cut the last 6 minutes of our conversation out. But that was Shapiro Will with David Shapiro from Sassoon Securities in Johannesburg. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.